is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
What's up, lovers? It's me, Damona Hoffman, your coach for love in the modern world. I am here with my co-host, the CEO of the Textpert app, Mr. Ray Christian.
Top of the morning.
Hello, hello. I almost said my CEO. As if I could have a CEO.
I'll be your CEO.
I'm the CEO of my own self, just like you empowered ladies at home. Hey, guys, it's Groundhog Day. I just always wanted to say that. I mean, it has no relevance in this world, Groundhog Day, especially in Los Angeles. It's still winter. Okay, I didn't know it was winter in the first place. But a more important thing is happening this month because February here at the Dates and Mates show means something different. We would consider it to be Love Month here, right? And the countdown to Valentine's Day has begun. Are you feeling the pull of Valentine's Day right now?
You know, February for me is Black History Month.
Okay, well, we're going to be talking about that in a couple weeks. We are.
Okay.
I know.
I'm just not a big Valentine's Day guy.
Well, I'm only half black, so we're going to talk about it halfway through the month, okay? No, but I want to get to the Valentine's Day stuff because a lot of the people that are listening to the show are interested in talking about love. That's why we're here. And I just find it's funny. I did a TV segment on the news on Monday, which was January 30th. And people were like, what? Valentine's Day? Why are we talking about Valentine's Day? And now all of a sudden, I feel like I'm getting a lot of emails and calls and people saying, it's Valentine's Day. What do I do? When should I start making reservations? What should I get for gifts? So we're going to talk about that a little bit in today's show. And we're going to discuss if renewing your vows is a waste of time. We'll talk about the sex lives of seniors and what we can learn from gay men's pickup artist game. Plus, we have questions from you like, what do you do when your dad is boning your bestie? And how do you track down a one-night stand? We have a fun show today. Then we're going to rant, have a diatribe. We're going to talk about back talking and beauty at the end of the show. But let's get started with a little D's Dating Dish.
D's Dating Dish.
Romance is in the air, as I said earlier, and two celebrity couples decided to renew their vows this week. So you may be familiar with Ray J. The Ray J. He married Princess Love in August, not that long ago even, in a surprise international vow renewal. They've been on and off again. They were in a relationship and featured on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood together. And they had a bit of a shaky foundation because they were still involved with other people when they decided to start seeing each other. But now Ray J says that Princess has made him a one-woman man, so he had to lock it down again. What do you think about this?
Isn't this kind of one of those, like, where there's smoke, there's fire type things? After a year, you got to renew them?
I guess.
Did you already forget?
I guess you already forgot. But, well, how about this couple, David and Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice? Right? She's posh. Yeah, posh. And they renewed their vows last week, and they originally wed in 1999. So that's been a longer amount of time. They got, like, what, three kids, something like that, three full kids. And now they said they went through some troubled times, which is interesting because I feel like they're the ideal couple. And you look at them and you think their life is perfect and they have it all figured out. But David actually said that they went through some troubled times, and Victoria was reminiscing about how it was love at first sight. She met David when she was just 18 years old. So it doesn't make more sense for a couple like that that's been together for a while.
I would say so. It does kind of make sense, especially as they alluded to the fact that maybe he was knocking boots on the side. And maybe they needed to kind of renew.
Restart.
But how about her little level up? I mean, Spice Girls, they were kind of a sensation. But wasn't it just like one album? And he's been like this international superstar, top five Q rating for his whole career. And she snagged him.
But at the time, Spice Girls was so huge. I mean, it was one album, but it was, they were like the Beatles of girl pop.
Okay.
At that time. And he didn't know her career was going to fall off. And by the way, if you marry David Beckham, like, I think you could take a little break on your singing career anyway. She probably had to fly all around the world with him, and that maybe that took a toll. This is what happens when gals get hitched sometimes. And then they have to take a back seat to their husband's careers. It's very unfair, isn't it?
You know, I'm feeling a little bit left out. There's all these customs and cultural practices for people that are in relationships. What about single people? Can I get some, like, renewing my single vows? Like, did all my friends come out and party with me?
Ray,
just
you
for
can do
celebrate
whatever
being
you
single?
If that's what you want to do, don't let us stop you. You can have your singlehood party. I think girls sometimes do that. They're just like, hey, I'm single. But I don't see guys doing that.
Renew my love of being single.
Well, as you grow older, love does change a little bit. And there was a survey that was released on Yahoo Finance about our time. It's the biggest online dating community for singles over 50. And they published the results of their survey. And there's some interesting takeaways. One misconception, you probably think if you're over 50, you just want a companion. Is that what you thought? You don't want sex. You just want...
Settle down.
I know you like to cuddle. So I can just
down.
See 50-year-old Ray just... cuddling.
I'm going to be a cuddle machine at 50.
Well, it's not true that they're not interested in sex. 46% say they feel it's assumed that they're not open to new experiences, and 44% say that they're assumed to be lonely and antisocial just for going on this dating app. But more than half of them are not satisfied with their sex lives, and they would like to be having sex at least 7 times a month. When I first read it, I was like, 7 times a week? No, okay, a month. I think there are a lot of people that would like to be having sex 7 times a month.
That seems like a pretty good number for someone in their 50s. That's
someone
almost 50s. 2 times a week.
I don't know. I feel like that's pretty good for a lot of people.
Wasn't there an article talking about like the 20-somethings want it like 10 to 15 times per month?
It was a good chunk more. Yeah, but you know, then you just get a little bit tired. But 45% of these folks said that they'd be open to a friends with benefits relationship. So, I mean, there's even playas in the 50-plus set.
There's actually a genetic reason, an evolutionary reason why people enjoy having sex or prefer having sex 2 times a week. But actually, that's a little bit too much of a rabbit hole. My favorite little nuggets from this article... that women in their 50s do not like being called cougars. I was like, what's wrong with being called a cougar? It's kind of hot and sexy.
Because it makes it seem like they're preying on these unsuspecting men that are like, oh, help me. This sexy older woman just came and snatched me up.
All right. There's nothing wrong with that.
That was my impression of a 25-year-old male. How did I do?
Spot on.
Nailed it.
The other one that jumped out at me was that 80% of them, as a dating coach, you probably will have a bone to pick with this. 80% of them do not want dating advice. And yet, half of them, like 52%, haven't been on a date in 5 years. Is there a little mismatch there?
Well, I definitely work with clients that are in the 50-plus set. And I do experience that sometimes they think that they have it figured out. And you assume, well, I've lived my whole life this way, so
right.
I don't necessarily need new information. I'm just going to keep on going the way I'm going. You know, one thing that's changing this year, switching topics, how much do you think Americans are going to spend on Valentine's Day this year? More or less than last year?
Meaning like on that date?
On that date.
Or in the gifts as well?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think just like the CPI and the inflation, it's going up.
It is not going up. People are actually, according to the National Retail Federation, spending less on Valentine's Day this year. I was surprised. They said it kept going up until last year, and it peaked at $146 a person. That's a lot of money to spend on one stinking day. What that tells me is that you didn't spend enough throughout the year to let your partner know that you were important. They were important to you, and so then you had to really dump a lot of money per person. That's like... that's a $300 dinner date combo, dinner date gift. That's a lot.
Well, I mean, if you break that down, $140 for the guy, that's like, let's say $80 for dinner, and that's being conservative. And then maybe $60 for a gift, that's kind of also sounding a little stingy. And then for the girl, it's maybe getting her hair done, nails done, a couple other things. That can easily... rack up to $140.
Yeah, we've talked about how much the ladies spend on these dates. You know who's not spending as much on dates? gay guys. You know,
shocker.
There was this great article in Elite Daily on why gay men are better at picking up men than women, according to gay men. This was a super interesting article because it was saying that gay men feel like they are just prone to know exactly what they want and go after it, and that women like to obsess over every detail, and gay men just go for it, you know. And plus, they're attracting someone whose brain is probably wired a little bit more like theirs, so they know what they would want. It's easier to anticipate as opposed to like trying to attract someone of the opposite sex. I think the crux of this is that, as I've said for the last 12 years, I think women need to be more proactive on dating sites because you're dealing with statistics and algorithms, and I think there are fewer barriers and there's fewer customs in the gay community as to who's supposed to reach out. There's none. It's just like, if you like this guy, go for it. But with women, they say, oh, I can't send the first message because that... I don't know. I'm doing this voice a lot today. But this is a 25-year-old man and also a 25-year-old woman.
Really getting some burn with this voice.
I can't send a message to a guy because then it's going to seem like I'm chasing him and our whole romance will be ruined. Well, I just about said everything. Do you have anything to add on that?
I concur.
Sorry, I overtalked that one. But there's plenty more overtalking to come on the rest of the Dates and Mates show. So stick around. We have two segments of Technically Dating coming right up after this break. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, sitting here with Ray Christian, my co-host, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. At 800-610-9070.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman, your certified dating and relationship coach, here with Ray Christian, CEO of the Techspert app. You know, it's fun with this Technically Dating. We get to take the best, the brightest of all of the questions that are submitted to the Techspert app for crowdsourced advice, and we talk about it, right?
I think, can we switch it up this week? I'm so intrigued by your new impersonation voice. Can you read all the textbook questions in that voice?
Are you joking? I will read the textbook questions, but I might try a few different voices. Okay. Get ready, guys, because we have some Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
Okay. So I love the emotion that people infuse into their textbook questions. So this is from a female who's 29 from New York. She says, oh, geez. Okay. So I was at my boyfriend's parents' house. How's the voice so far?
Excellent.
I was at my boyfriend's parents' house to grab a few things of mine because I store some of my stuff there. I went down to the kitchen to get some grocery bags, and a photo fell out of the cabinet of my boyfriend as a child in a dress. Okay, I'm not a homophobe or anything, but when I was younger, I didn't have the desire to try boy clothes. I don't know. Just tell me what you think. Thanks. Nailed it, first of all. Nailed it. But
I may lose my job over here. The text we're reading, you kind of stuck the landing on that
one.
Oh,
I thought you meant over this question because you're going to have some big reveal about how you wore dresses as a child. But, I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Really?
Well, look, if you're gay or if you're a transgender or if you like to cross-dress, that's your prerogative. That's fine. Totally accept that. But it could be a sign that maybe there is some hidden urges. It's definitely not a guarantee that there's some sort of, you know, interest in an alternative lifestyle. But it's a little bit of smoke. there's not guaranteed there's a fire, but it's a little bit of smoke.
I think it's a little bit of nothing. And, you know, you look at someone like Eddie Izzard. He's a transvestite. He likes to dress in women's clothing, and he's totally straight and married to a woman. It's really not a big deal. And I don't think that's true, female 29, that you did not have the desire to try boy clothes, because girls have actually a lot more freedom in their wardrobe to be able to wear, like, my daughter hates wearing dresses, so she can wear pants, she can wear shorts. But, like, let's say a guy doesn't want to wear pants and he wants to wear a dress. So freaking what? Get over it. Let's be modern. Welcome to the future. That's what I say.
Well, we could be modern for sure. But if, let's take it to one little step further, potentially. If your husband or wife or whatever felt like the opposite gender and was, like, considering a transition in the near future, isn't that something you'd probably want to be privy to?
Whoa. You just jumped 10 steps ahead, though. This was a picture of him as a child wearing a dress. Like, she has no context to even be able to interpret this photo. Now, if you found your boyfriend sitting at your vanity, putting your makeup on and wearing a dress and picking out which earrings he was going to wear, then you might have to have a conversation. But this is a totally different situation, in my opinion.
The only thing that made me think it was because the second part of this, where she followed up on her comment, where she said, and when I confronted him on it, the look on his face was not like, ha ha ha, I'm in on the joke. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe you found that.
Which means he's, like, embarrassed about it. It's probably some picture that his mom took and was like, isn't that funny? And for his entire life, it was thrust in his face every time she had friends over. And he's, you know, it probably.
And why was it in the kitchen cabinet? That's a weird spot for
going through stuff. Just get your own storage unit, lady. Okay, this is from a male 32 from California. I really like this question. Okay. So, and I really want to hear what you have to say. I met a girl in a bar Saturday night. We really hit it off. And then we went back to my place and hooked up. She mentioned earlier in the night that I should take down her number and figured we'd exchange when we parted ways. At the end of the night, I told her to come lie down next to me. Then I passed out. And she left like a thief in the night. How can I find her?
Like, right? A thief in the night.
That was my favorite part. The brilliance of the Textbert post. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I love it.
So, I mean, I guess the only legitimate source or, like, structured source for this is, what is it, Craigslist Missed Connections?
Right, of course.
I think it's called. But then, like, both parties need to be on there and just perusing it, which seems like a very unlikely scenario. I would probably say go to the bar. If you really are sprung on this girl, go to the bar. And poke around. Ask the bartender. Ask a couple people. Like, hey, do you remember this girl? I met her, but I lost the number. I broke my phone. Make up some excuse so you don't come off like an absolute stalker nut job. And maybe just see if she knows anybody who knows somebody.
But let's back up a step. Should he even be pursuing her to this level? Like, if she really wanted to see him again, wouldn't she have left her number on the counter or something, or written it in lipstick on the mirror or something, or taken his phone? And I guess he probably has a phone lock. Okay. There's ways.
Well, do you think she was being a little bit coy, maybe? Like, maybe she, or maybe she was annoyed that he passed out.
Mm-mm.
And she wanted him to be a gentleman and squire her to an Uber.
I think you can get past something like that.
But and I'm guessing they were drinking. So maybe she was just like in a huff and she left, but she does kind of like the guy.
Or maybe she was drinking and then she sobered up and realized, oh snap, what did I just sleep with? I gotta go. I don't think he should put any effort into trying to track her down. I did see, though, just last week, Match introduced a missed connections feature to help singles locate people that they've missed. So, like, it has the locations. It basically just happened. I thought of you because last week you said you were talking about technology and you ask if it's a feature of an app or if it's its own app.
Sure.
Or product. And Happn, which is an app that I love. I love the concept of. Basically, Match just took Happn and made that feature part of their website
or
Interesting. Their, you know, their app. So I find that interesting if that's going to take off, if that will squash Happn's success.
Is that what they're doing? It's basically like It's same geolocating.
Thing. Geolocating.
Through the
you
Match
pass
app.
Them, and then it's like, oh, you crossed paths with this member. Do you want to say hi?
I think happens in Trouble anyways, but that's another story. But yeah.
I like it anyways.
They are kind of a feature.
They are kind of a feature. Let's move on to another question. Let's see. This is kind of a, I'll just give it to you. Female 20 from Canada. She says, am I wrong for wanting my boyfriend to give me more attention than he gives his friends? Or am I just being annoying? Right?
Oh, this is just baiting so many parts of me. But I think there's no easy answer without a little bit of background. If she's not getting enough attention, that's something she should discuss with her boyfriend. If she's just the jealous type that is not cool with him talking with her, his buddies and friends, that's a problem. You should have somewhat of a separate life where you can have friends on the side. But if he's also giving her the cold shoulder, then yeah, maybe you should look into that.
Well, she says specifically, give me more attention than he gives his friends. So it sounds like it's not just a matter of him giving attention to his friends. It's that she's feeling completely shut out here and that she's being eclipsed by his friends.
So she wants a simple majority of his attention.
51%.
51%.
That's it. But it's all in how you ask for it. And ultimately, if he's with you, he wants to spend time with you, and you just have to make that more appealing to him. So don't come at him saying, like, why do you spend more time with your friends? And we don't talk anymore. Something more like, you know, I really get excited when I see you, you know, on Friday nights. Or it would be really great if we could have the weekend together and, you know, just the two of us. And then if he's a good boyfriend, he's going to pick up on the hint and be like, oh, that means I'm going to get laid.
You know what?
That's
good
what
point.
Guys want.
If you're the love of my life,
ultimately,
and you're going to be the maybe potential mother of my children, yeah, you deserve a simple majority of my time.
There you go. Okay, quick last question. This is from a dude. He's 19, and he says, "Riddle me this. I broke up with my ex 7 weeks ago, and she wasn't that cute or didn't have a fire personality. Since then, I've spoken with girls that are far more attractive and interesting. Why do I still miss her?"
You know what? I actually love this question, and it gets to this, like, it factor concept, or the, is it je ne sais quoi? Like that.
How do you say je ne sais quoi?
It's like some people just have this deep sexuality, this deep confidence, this swag that cannot be pinpointed with an objective attraction or with their personality. They just got it. And I think his ex probably had it, and it's one of my favorite concepts of, like, do you have that it factor? And I think she probably had it.
Here's the key, though: that it factor doesn't work for everyone. So it's like magic, right? And my magic may not work on you, but it may work on you. So it boils down to chemistry, and this is why I tell people not to pay too much attention to initial chemistry on a first date. Lust at first sight. But as you get to know someone, you can form a deeper bond with them. That, in my opinion, is true chemistry. And so there's probably something chemical that's going on in his, like, I think he had some oxytocin and bonding hormone released with her, and he's still feeling bonded to her. And, you know, maybe it's a pheromone situation. I don't know if he got rid of all the stuff that was associated with her, but maybe there's something of hers behind, and he's smelling it and it triggers her, or he sees something and it triggers him. Triggered. So I think there's something biological at play, and it's not about how cute she is, and it's not about how fiery her personality is. Maybe he knows deep down that's actually not what he needs.
They say actually we are attracted to a diversity in immune systems that our bodies can sense. But the one thing I would add to that is I saw a documentary on Frank Sinatra, and a couple of women just said basically Frank just reeked of sex. I think he had that it factor.
He did. I heard it in his voice. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll be tackling some more of these juicy Techspert questions in Technically Dating. So stick around. I'm Damona Hoffman here with Ray Christian, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT18 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code GIFT18, that's GIFT18 at adamandeve.com.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona. And gosh, I just love when the textpert questions come a-rolling in, Ray.
This week, they're particularly scintillating.
They are. And people are using really great, what would you say, idioms? Is that like really great?
Colloquialisms.
Colloquialisms.
And cliches.
And I love it. I love it. Well, this next question is not so cliche. But it's a pretty tricky one. And it's one simple sentence. It's from a female, 18, from somewhere. She says, "My BFF just had sex with my dad. What do I do?" Oh, snap.
Jesus yes. Christo.
You sounded
machi.
So gringo when you said that.
Okay.
What was the second one? Hachimachi.
Hachimachi. This is going to take some, this one like deserves some unraveling. I wish in the deepest parts of my body that we could just talk to this person on the phone and really unravel this. But
she's probably too embarrassed.
So if she's underage, then obviously that's a completely different discussion. And maybe the authorities need to be involved. Let's just, for the sake of the argument,
let's just
pull
that
aside.
So she's 18, 19. Her friend is 18, 19, okay?
Oh, that's right. She's 18. All right. So they're 18. Everyone's
just
of age.
Just barely of age.
So I think that it's a discussion with...
Who?
Both.
Who can they discuss? Discuss with?
You know, I've never been flummoxed quite like...
No, you haven't.
This one.
Your face is red.
I think you got to pull away from both of them and give them the silent treatment for maybe a week or two. And make them feel some pain. Gather your thoughts and figure out what you want to do. Are you cool with it or are you not? But take a week off and just ignore both of them. Because that's a big line stepping. They really crossed the line there.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, the thing is, your dad is just always your dad. So she cannot have that best friend anymore, but she can't not have that dad anymore. So I think the first conversation actually... it has to be with her dad, and just to say, like, why would you do this? Like, this puts me in a really uncomfortable position. Like, there's no other women out there for you to date than my 18-year-old friends. That just to me is very. I would be so disappointed.
And maybe you want to find out, like, are you guys like attracted to each other still? Are you guys going to be doing this a lot?
Because oh, if so, but people will say what they're going to say. It just happened or whatever, and then, you know, she finds them 6 months from now. You can't believe people. What do you think, Ray, is the answer to this question? She's a female from somewhere who asks, what's the best for dealing with rejection? Frowny face emoji. I'm gonna try to do that emoji impression. This one, the kind of Trump face emoji.
You know, you're very low energy today. The best way is, it's like the best revenge. It's success. Get out there. Take some cuts. Maybe lick your wounds and feel sorry for yourself for like a day or a week and mope and embrace that. Don't just bottle it up. Embrace it and let it out. But then get out there. Take some cuts.
Get it, girl.
Get some batting practice. Go on some dates. Go on Bumble or Hinge or whatever and start meeting some people. Make out with somebody. Maybe a little bit more, but have some fun. Move on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, maybe just get a haircut or just change something about yourself where you feel like, well, that was old me and this is new me.
I
and
like
just
that.
See how that makes you feel. It's not for anyone else. It's not so Is this from a guy or a girl? This is from a girl, yeah. It's not so guys will look at you differently. It's so you can feel cleansed. And just first of all, if it's a rejection from a relationship, get rid of anything that had to do with that person, like out of your sight. If it's rejection from putting yourself out there and having someone say, I'm not that into you, here's the message. You've probably heard this saying before. It's one of my faves. Rejection is God's protection. And I really believe everything happens for a reason. And anything that's not meant to be is because you're meant for something greater. If you are open to it and if you're ready to accept it. So if you keep holding on to the past, like I'm getting real serious right now. We've been having a lot of fun, but I'm not doing this one in a voice.
Your colloquialisms are on point today.
Okay, well, I'm talking straight to people right now that if you keep yourself tied to the past and you replay the rejection and replay the rejection and stay in that wallowing place, you are going to miss what is actually your destiny. This message has been brought to you by datesandmates.com. Okay, let's have a little more fun, shall we? How
Indeed.
Am I doing on these questions? I like switching it up.
You know, I could go for a few more impersonations, and by that I mean the same impersonation.
Okay, I got this but one. Okay, this is from a female. She's 33, and she says, first of all, her typing is awful. So I'm going to try to make sense of this. I get the point of what she's trying to say. She says
paraphrase.
Something like, just have a question. Is it wrong to ask after work, asking your husband where he at? I know I always ask him that, but why every time I ask him, he's starting to get pissed off. Why?
Thank you. Thank you for diving in and just making that feel real and raw.
Why? I want to know where he at.
I feel like I feel like I know this woman now. You know what? You should be able to ask your husband where he's at. I think that's fine. If he's going MIA and he's going dark on you after work, then yeah, bust his chops a little bit. I think that's a little bit uncouth to be just disappearing on your wifey after work. If it's like the gym and that's like a set thing that, yes, I hit the gym after work, honey, back off, okay. But if you're just going dark, nope. I think that's grounds for a little bit of poking and prodding.
And here's the red flag. She says, why every time I ask him, he is starting to get pissed off. And that, to me, is a big signal that he's doing something he ain't supposed to be doing. I don't know if he's sleeping with someone. I don't know if he's gambling. I don't know. He's going to the strip club. He's doing something he ain't supposed to be doing. And otherwise, he would have a response that's reasonable.
Right.
And he would just say, oh, I was just out with my buddies, or, you know, I went to the gym, like you said. But at the same time, I also believe in a certain amount of freedom in relationships. And when you've built your relationship on a foundation of trust, you don't have to ask those questions. It's like, I don't know where he was, but it doesn't matter. It's just the fact that it sounds to me like they don't have good communication in general. And she's sensing, your intuition is usually right. And if she's sensing that he's doing something he's not supposed to be doing, she needs to pay attention to that.
So I'm not a big proponent of snooping or going through someone's phone, but I wonder if there's a weird gray area when it comes to the quote unquote, find my iPhone or find my friends. Mm. Like, can you, is it not cool to put a little tracker on your husband or wife's phone so you just know where they are in case of emergency, or you know where their phone is, quote unquote, in case they lose it.
Like a teenager.
Like,
I gotta track you.
And if you're kind of wondering where they are, you can go on the old Google machine and find out where they're going. Is that a little bit too much? Is
that might be
snooping?
Much. That might be much. Okay. Because the more suspicious you are, the more you bring the suspicion into the relationship, I think that will color your communications in a different way. Speaking of communications, I've got another one. This is from a female. She's 27. She says, I've been talking to a guy on the phone, FaceTime, text, and we've hung out a few times since September. We always seem to enjoy each other's company. I've developed feelings for this guy, and even if he claims that he's falling for me, he always pushes himself away. We're both busy in life, and we have a small distance between where we live, so it's not easy to be available. Sometimes he's full on, and other times I may not hear from him for a week. He's not consistent. What do I do? Ray, I hear this question from so many women that feel like guys just aren't consistent, as she said. They're on, they're off, they're available, they're not available. What's he got, some chick on the side? What's going on here?
So, you know, Damona, I don't think I am the right person to answer this necessarily, because I'm not like Johnny Everyman that I think is acting like the normal person.
Well, you're the only guy here with a mic, so you better speak up.
Okay, well, I'll speak for
defend
myself.
Defend yourself, men.
I'm speaking on behalf of every single man out there. When I'm into a girl, I am constantly in fifth gear. Just trying to set up the date, trying to kiss, trying to get handsy, and trying to be physical, because I am like beside myself with attraction. Because I'm into that girl. So there's no hot and cold. There's no like, oh, I want to go on a date this week, but not the next week. I'm going on fifth gear if I'm really into her. And there's no off switch. There's no decelerating down to fourth gear. But I've been told I'm a little bit, I guess aggressive might be the word, more so than maybe most guys. So I don't know. But if women see that a lot, my guess would be he's probably not that into you. Because if he's gaga, he's going to be in fifth gear.
Yeah, I think that's more like most guys than you realize. I generally think, and Greg Barrett, who we've had on the show, would probably agree with you, he's just not that into you. If he seems like he's not that into you, he's just not that into you. And again, it's just like I said a moment ago, the more you keep pining and waiting and putting your energy in, the less you're going to get back. So walk away, see what happens. And if he chases, then you know he was meant to. It's meant to be. If you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, you know, that whole thing.
One thing I'd keep in mind as well as a girl is remember that men and males in almost every species are genetically inclined to want to have a little harem, to have as many little side chicks as possible.
Here we go. You can't say something like that with a minute to go.
Remember that men, he's trying to establish that, like, I'm going to give you a little bit of my time and then you come when I give you attention. Don't let him do that.
All right. Well, we agree. We agree on the action, just maybe not on the setup. But there's plenty of time for us to disagree.
Can't wait.
And he said, she said. So stick around. We'll have more of Dates and Mates right after this.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-8195 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-8195 to take your call now. Call 800-900-8195. That's 800-900-8195. Again, 800-900-8195.
Ooh, welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman. That chuckling man in the corner is Ray Christian.
You got me in stitches this episode.
I'm so glad.
You are on one.
I'm about to have you in stitches after this he said, she said. Because we're going
different
head
types
to
of
head.
Stitches.
Different types of stitches. We're going head to head here in this conversation because there's something we just cannot agree on that was in the news this week, and we had to bring it to you. So are you ready for a little he said, she said?
Am I ever?
Sometimes men just don't understand.
Damona, sometimes the ladies just don't get it.
That's why we have he said, she said. In this corner, repping for the men. He's in his mid-30s. He's single and ready to mingle. We have Ray Christian.
And in that corner, representing the ladies, she's married with two kids, has been coaching singles for 13 years. It's Damona Hoffman.
That was me kissing you. It's not like the big smooches. Thank you, Producer Jay, for the woo from the corner.
How come I didn't get a woo woo?
Because y'all were
team effort.
All right. So in the news, there was an article about women taking their husband's last name. Turns out you and I don't agree on this topic, and that's why we got to duke it out in the ring. Men first.
Men first? He's making up phrases. It's supposed to be ladies first.
Well, it's a different kind of show. This is a feminist show, so equal opportunity.
You know what, Damona? I'm about to mess you up with some truth.
Then bring it.
So, at the end of the day, this whole women taking the last name, it's kind of an arbitrary custom. It's cultural custom. You know what else is kind of an arbitrary cultural custom, in my opinion, in a way? Marriage in general. So my thing is, I'm happy when people get married. I'm happy for it. I'm undecided if I ever want to. And I've been pretty clear about that in past shows. My thought is, marriage is kind of this whole thing. You get together, you get married, legal documents, and you change your name as women. So how come you get to pick and choose which parts of that arbitrary, weird custom get pulled away and which don't? If we're going to say that marriage is great, all the things about it should be great, including taking the man's last name. No?
No, because I feel like if you're bonding yourself to someone, it's a whole different thing than just marriage. Is not just about we're having a party and saying we're together. Marriage is a legal ceremony that makes the two of you one legal entity. So when you consider buying property, when you consider having children and being able to go to the hospital if your significant other is hurt and get in the room, which you might not be able to if you're not their spouse, you might not get their property. Let's say you bought a house together. You might not automatically get their property if they pass away. It's all these things that I know you don't want to think about. They're very grown-up things. But these are the reasons that we get married. It really was about safety and security in harnessing yourself to another person. Because remember, in generations past, women didn't even have the ability to make their own money. So now we do, and now we can have an equality partnership. But that does mean that that paper has a significance. But the changing of the name doesn't necessarily. And it's such a big pain in the ass to go through that process. I actually went through it twice because first I hyphenated my name, which was really a mess.
Good call.
That trying to explain it to you, like the technicians on the phone, you know, it's RESNICK-HOFFMAN. I was like, forget it. And then when I had kids, I just went ahead and changed it to Hoffman. But then I had to change all of my documents, all my driver's license, all my credit cards, everything. And I still have problems with it to this day, and it's been like 6 or 7 years. So I would say if it's not such a big deal, then why don't you take the woman's name?
Well, if we're going to pick and choose which parts of the marriage custom we can pull off and discard and eschew, then isn't that a slippery slope? If we're playing devil's advocate, if it's like, oh, well, that part of marriage you don't like? Well, you know what part I didn't like as a Johnny Everman? This whole like full-on commitment to you sexually. Can we just get rid of that part? Isn't that antiquated?
That's why you don't want to get married. But here's the other thing about it. Taking a man's name also meant that you basically became his property. That's the reason you changed your name, because I'm no longer property of the Resnick clan. I'm part of the Hoffman clan, and the Hoffman clan now claims me and is responsible for me. I feel like that kind of ownership has no business in modern relationships and really is something that could be discarded. I took my husband's last name because I wanted to, and I wanted to have my kids have the same name as me. But from a feminist perspective, I actually think it's totally up to the woman, and she should decide what's right for her. All right, well.
And that's a wrap.
I was going to say, you know, we could go all day. You don't have nothing else to say on that.
Well, but the ownership thing, by the way, that is kind of like at the crux of what marriage was many, many eons ago, thousands of years ago. It was kind of an ownership thing, which means that the core roots of marriage has some questionable characteristics
agree
and attributes
with you
from
on
the
that
beginning.
Front. Agree with you on that front. But in modern times, you have to consider what it means for your legal rights. All right. Since you seem to be all riled up, Ray, I'm going to let you continue to take the mic because I heard you have something to get off your chest.
Damona, something's really been grinding my gears.
Grinding your gears?
It's people talking all kinds of mean things about their exes.
Uh-oh. All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock for Ray to talk about people talking trash about an ex.
So you're on a first date, you're talking with your friends, and somebody's ex comes up as a topic. And next thing you know, that person is just talking all types of things about how terrible their ex is. Look, I get it. Breakups are hard. But if you're with that person for 6 months, 3 years, 10 years, aren't they kind of a direct reflection on the type of person that you are? In the words of the great philosopher, DJ Khaled, you played yourself. It also makes you look childish, petty, and a little bit butthurt. And one of the cardinal rules of a job interview is you don't talk poorly about your last employer. I have some homework for you as a result. Take your last 2 to 3 exes, sit down, and think of one little compliment that you could give them. And remember that one compliment for each ex. Major key here to success. Next time someone asks you about that ex, drop that compliment and move on.
Such great advice, Ray. And I think it dovetails with what I was saying earlier about being tied to the past. Like, talking about your ex is basically just another way of replaying the emotions of the past. It's keeping you stuck. There's no benefit to it, right?
Did you get that reference, by the way? The DJ Khaled?
No, of course not.
Major key?
No. I told you, I don't know what the kids are listening to. Please tweet me and tell me what to listen to because I just have no idea. At Damona Hoffman. I have no idea what the kids are listening to.
You know what a cousin of this is? Is like the person that's like, oh my God, I can't believe I was with that person for 2 years, 6 months, 3 years. It's like, and they say it was such a waste of time. It's like, really? Wasn't that kind of what shaped you as the person you are now? Then you kind of grow from that?
Absolutely.
What's up with that?
There's no such thing as a waste of time. But there is such a thing as a waste of makeup. And that's what I want to talk to you about in Damona's Diatribe. I want to talk to you about natural look makeup for a minute. All right, y'all. I had a photo shoot this week. You're going to see the pics pretty soon. But everyone kept telling me after the shoot how different I looked. I'm using air quotes for those that are not watching on the Facebook live stream. I looked different, which is code for better. And here's the thing you got to understand. The natural look, I'm still using air quotes, I'm going to use them throughout the entire segment, is actually a look that is curated and coiffed and sometimes takes hours to make it look effortless. We don't have natural, soft, blushing cheeks. We don't naturally have these doe eyes that pop out at you. Our natural look, it has pimples, it has freckles, it has bloodshot eyes, bags under our eyes, it has uneven eyebrows. And just because you see the natural look in TV and movies, you think we wake up like that. Look, Jennifer Lawrence, Anne Hathaway, Anna Kendrick aren't girl next door beautiful. They spent hours in the chair having that look cultivated for them. And when they didn't do it, they just ended up in Star Magazine or TMZ with a headline, "She let herself go." Let's stop the pressure, ladies, to look perfect, even if it's just for the perfect girl next door. More Alicia Keys. More No Filter.
You know, I can't tell if that got you riled up at all.
Did it?
That pushed your buttons, that topic. I like it. I like the passion.
No, I need like 1 minute and 10 seconds, but producer Jay said no.
You know, as your counterpart on that photo shoot, who also was subject to some makeup, I got to say, I felt like a real princess.
You had like 2 puffs of powder, Princess Ray. You had 2 puffs.
I'd like to hate
powder
on makeup, but then after it was done, I was like, oh, okay.
I know, but okay. Honestly, when you spend like an hour in the chair, every time I go on television, it's an hour in the chair. I ain't got time for all of that. But I do have time for you guys and for your questions every week. So make sure you post them on the TechSpert app or tweet me at Damona Hoffman. You can follow me on Instagram. And you can also follow Ray at RayChristian_LA. Leave us a review on iTunes. We can keep the show going. Tell a friend. And we'll see you next week. Until then, happy dating.